American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the Internet for Thursday, February 24, 2005. This is Newsreel, your source for independent media and news that will give you the edge against the core political tyranny that is trying to enslave you. You can read all those news stories along with me by going to my live journal. You know it'll be time to turn the page when you hear me say, boy, I still miss Hunter. I just got an email sent to me from, I think it was, I can't even remember who sent it to me now, which is going to suck because I'll be like, I sent it to you, but whatever, about a link from an Australian broadcast of Hunter S. Thompson doing an interview, and I've downloaded it, and I want to be able to chop it up and maybe make it into some sort of a music mix or something like that. It's fantastic stuff. And, you know, it's really kind of sad that a lot of people are going to miss that guy. And a lot of the things that he did and a lot of things he stood for, whether or not you agreed with his, you know, personal lifestyle choices or what have you. But it seems increasingly more and more unlikely to me that he killed himself. But I'm not going to, you know, that's blatant, you know, flagrant speculation here. Everyone just kind of accepts that the guy killed himself. And maybe he did. Maybe he did. I mean, everyone knows that he was, you know, kind of a drug-addled gonzo journalist. But the interesting thing that I got from the article was he's never actually defined what gonzo journalism is. And I found out that what his take on it was actually getting there himself and giving first-line impressions down so that what he saw was what he reported, no filtering, no bullshit, no nothing. And there's a lot to be said for that, for the raw experience of being involved with stuff, you know. And no one's really doing that anymore. It's pretty hard to do that. So I think about stuff like that, and I think about what we're doing with Rant Media and what we all do as WOGs, as individuals who scour the web and stuff like that. We're currently finding and reporting stories that we find. But no one's out there really writing stories, are they? I mean, I've got a journal where, you know, I started by writing myself out of depression and just kind of, you know, writing every day as a writer. You know, it's something that you need to do. You need to write. You need to stay on top of this kind of stuff. But how many of us out there write? We all write in our journals and things like that. But we don't really get into it. You know, we don't try to find news. We report news. You know what I mean? Like, it's okay for us to find news links. And don't get me wrong. I enjoy everyone, all the netrunners who bring me the news. But how many of us could actually go and ask hard questions? How many of us could actually go out there and start taking, actually, a journalistic approach to things so that we actually put out our own paper? What if there was some sort of e-text or something like that that could be done? It's a really vague concept. I'm probably not the first person to come up with something like this. I'm sure this has been suggested time and time again. And maybe that's a draw of the kind of stuff that Sim and I do. Maybe that's an example of we go out and we just go looking for the shit. And we see what we can find. And, of course, Sim puts everything on tape and we try to get it out to you in the world. Maybe that's the direction that we should all go. Give me some feedback. Let me know what you think. Let me know how you feel about the whole thing. I'd like to know about that. Newsreel@rantradio.com. Getting into some other feedback here. Dear Sean, I haven't done any new research since the broadcast. This is reference to the oil thing. But I thought I'd chime in with the one thing I already know, and you've probably been told a few thousand times by now. We're certainly not out of oil. What we are is out of oil that is cheap and easy to manufacture, or at least legally. According to one source, we're supposed to hit peak oil in 2008 or thereabouts, after which point in time it will have exhausted roughly one half of the world's oil resources. The remaining half will be more expensive to produce, thereby driving prices up. The reaction to this ranges from sensible people who think that soon prices will rise and the entire economy will go to shit, and we'll have rampant war that will damn near destroy the world. This is the view of lifeafterthe oilcrash.net. What to believe? I guess you'll have to figure that one out for yourself. I personally think that it won't even be the huge catastrophe that will destroy the world. Lifeafterthe oilcrash.net is the first thing you get when you do a Google search for peak oil. And at first I thought I had some good info, but right now the guy is selling a book that he used to give away for free. I know because I got a free copy of it and read it, and he has a big sales letter on the site trying to convince you to buy this book, which only tells you how fucked you are, and then any thought you have on an alternate energy source is not going to help. I think that's bullshit, but you go see for yourself. Anyway, I'm out. People tree. Now, that's a perfect example of someone just reporting what they think, and we as a culture are so dumbed down. You know, we're all like, oh, well, you know, but who am I? You know, who am I to make a statement against the government? Well, I don't know. It's just what I think. You know, it's only me. Only me. Just me. Nothing important here. My opinion doesn't count. No, your opinion counts, dude. You're important. This stuff, the fact that you found that, I mean, that's you send it to me, I put it out on the air. That's how it works. Shit, let's just go completely indie of the entire news media. What if we were to take this whole fucking thing, like, completely Dan Rather? You know what I mean? Just set the whole thing up. Maybe I went the wrong way with the Sean Kennedy show. Maybe it shouldn't have been a video talk show, me ripping off Johnny Carson and trying to talk to people about the world. I don't know. I'm kind of wandering around the dark here myself, right? I'm just trying to figure out what the hell we're supposed to be doing. So I'm thinking, what if we were to, you know, take it another way? What if, you know, 5 years from now, Moore's Law keeps on trucking, we're able to compress videos, stream video shows, actually do news reports, actually have people with cameras running around shooting tape? There's a hobby. You don't like the fact that you're employed for some shit wage slave job? Buy yourself a video camera and start looking for the shit. You want to know where you're going to out it? You could send it to us, and I'm sure we could go through it. Sim's probably pulling his hair out right now going, Sean, what are you doing? What are you doing, man? Well, I'm fighting. It's pissing me off, man, that we're all, you know, we're losing all the greats. All the great journalists are dying. Everyone who's ever been involved with our culture, as we understand North America to be, are slowly just kind of being erased and forgotten, washed away, deleted as everything is transferred to e-text and our information resources are drying up more every day. It's kind of sick. It's kind of sad. And I'm worried about it. You know, who's going to stand up and fight for this shit? It's not going to be all the jocks or all the war guys because they just respond to orders. They're only following orders. So it's really going to be up to us poor, you know, granola-eating fringe freak shows out here to combat, you know, the psycho-Christians of the universe who are trying to bring about the end times. Just a thought. You know, just sort of a general guideline. Get back to me. Let me know what you think about that. Dear Sean, another piece of feedback here. This is in regards to the episode of Rant Radio in which Sean Kennedy brought up the possibility that there was, in fact, no oil crisis. My cousin, a PhD in computer science and professor at California Polytechnic State University, calculated, using figures from the web, quote, but I would like to find his source, he doesn't know, unquote, that it will take approximately 300 years for us to run out of oil. Just thought I'd let you know there are at least some figures that point to there being no oil crisis. If you didn't already know, I wish I had more accurate information to give. Hey, man, push with the cock you got. If that's what you got, give it to me. Thank you very much. Dear Sean, wanted to thank you for alerting me to this very drastic problem. This is in reference to the Codex Vitamins things. The Codex is the European Union's idea of making us so that we can't get, you know, basic food, nutrition, and stuff like that. My father and uncle have fought for this before twice, and they are now in their 70s. When I printed your article and gave it to them, they started talking to people and handing out the article. I've been having a friend in the Bay Area Guardian hand them a compiled group of websites, and I hope they will print an article in the San Francisco. We'll know what is going on. I just want to let you know that how much I appreciate what you are doing, and that's from Visage. Thank you very much. And you know what, Visage? If you get an article, you know, printed, I don't care if it doesn't say my name or anything like that, but if you get an article printed, I would like to, if you don't mind, either send me a scan or ideally snail mail me a copy of that article. Because it'd be cool to see, you know, something that came from the butterfly effect of me screaming into a microphone. And, of course, vicariously through the people who sent me the email. Because I'm just, you know, I'm just a funnel here. I'm a conduit. I'm like the big hub where the whole internet, you know, server works through me and we out information to the universe. Thank you so much for that kind of praise. And it really makes me feel like what we're doing is making a difference. But are we making enough of a difference? Can we do more? That's the next question. I don't want it to be all about wall-to-wall blowjobs in here. I don't want this thing to equate to, quote-unquote, a cosmic hand job. I want this to be something, man. And I think it is something. I think that all of our voices channeled together can make a chorus that will, you know, echo throughout the world. I think we can do that. I think that now with a tool like the internet and the ability to distribute information, you know, I feel kind of bad, and it's pretty daunting for me. I mean, here I am, this crazy guy yelling into a microphone, trying to be somewhat entertaining and communicate information so that I don't put everyone to sleep. God bless Noam Chomsky. You know, I mean, we've got to keep this stuff going. We've got to keep the young people, we've got to keep their brains working, man. If we don't counteract the effects of dumbing down North America, then, you know, who is? Who's really, if not us, then who? And if not now, then when? You know, the good old party line there, but it does make sense. We do have to do something to stop this. We do have to do something to make sure that the next generations, for those of us who don't have kids, who've been lucky enough not to spawn, you know, we got to make sure that maybe, you know, there will be something for someone else. So at the end of it all, when they point the fingers around, they can say, what did you do? And you say, well, I gave it the good college try. Don't blame me. So I got to sort yourself out here. Dear friend, my high school buddy here, who is a recent convert from individual to gap-wearing whore, meaning he bought into the whole mall mindfuck less than about a year ago. So he phoned in and started talking about how he come across the Raelian propaganda. He's hooked. He's on the cell with me right now talking about how it will burn for eternity for opposing the gray fuckers. Guess what I told him? Shoot him down and cut him up. How can I get him off that saucer worship piece of shit? Should I? He's a fanatical SOB talking about he will be cloned and the aliens will come and how he being the traitor to the beautiful and how he will be cloned when the aliens come, how he being the traitor to the beautiful blue ball will get all kinds of rewards. Well, the Raelians are pretty much harmless, but I should be worried that he's found himself a bunch of horseshit to believe. I mean, he's kind of the third eye, open your inner chakra, let in the good white energy kind of guy. I think you would refer to him as the Huna Huna crystal crowd. What should I do? Now, okay, this is a good one. This is a good one because, you know, cult activity, you know, people do this because they're seeking, right? That's why, I mean, and I know this is why I try to create a positive, safe, you know, self-actualizing environment, you know, through the WOG movement and through patrolling and all this sort of stuff to bring people in so that they don't, you know, wind up falling prey to weird, bizarre, you know, sex cults like the Raelians. A few things in the email here I want to go. First of all, the Raelians are not harmless, okay, right off the top. Very few organizations. It's a money-making organization, okay, that enslaves people's minds and lies to them. So this is bad. You know, anyone that does not distribute truth is bad. Now, as for the whole gray Raelian thing, the more these religions, these cults, these weird fanatical groups, they are designed, okay, to combat resistance. So if you say, man, you're all fucked up, dude, you know, they'll be like, oh, no, you're just part of the world. You know, you don't see the truth like I have it. And the harder you push against him, you know, the harder it'll be to actually, you know, to pull him out of it. So what you want to do is you want to get a hold of him and say, hey, man, you know, I was listening about what you said about the Raelians and stuff like that. And I'd like you to teach me more about that, you know, and then don't go to anyone else. Don't let him go, oh, well, you got to talk to this guy. No. I want to get it from you. I don't trust these other people. I think you might be onto something because you're my friend and I trust you, but I don't trust them. So what you're doing there is you're making him, okay, learn about this data. And when he explains the data to you, you could say, well, wait a second, you know, let's just check some of this. Let's just check out if this is true. And then suddenly it becomes this weird adventure if you're that, and this is committing, okay? If he's a buddy and you want to save his ass, this takes a lot of work. But you've got to go, well, wait a minute, that doesn't work, man, because you look at these facts here and that doesn't add up. Well, that's just the world. Well, wait a minute, hang on, does that make sense, you know? And you pretend like you want to believe it, but you just can't believe it because of all this, you know, shit that they're feeding him, you know? As for the third eye chakra crystal crowd, Huna Huna stuff, I make that statement because there are people who are, you know, psychotically flaky with the magic rocks. You know, I mean, it happens. But there is a lot of stuff going on there. Like, there's a lot of religion and shit that goes on around the world. Does that mean that all crystals channel energy? No, I don't know. I don't know. What I do know is there's been an awful lot of that spanning around the world the last few thousand years. You know, I mean, is it all bullshit? Maybe. I don't know. I haven't done the research. I've read a lot of books. I've seen a lot of conflicting evidence. The scientific evidence is, no, it's bullshit. That's their big decrier. We've tried to test it with this equipment. We didn't find anything. Therefore, it's all lies and crap. Because naturally, you know, if science proved the existence of anything paranormal, science becomes unstable, and then this opens up a huge doorway for, like, you know, certain moralistic values and things like that. So you want to keep that stuff in check, you know, and this gets into the whole politics of suppressed science and so on and so forth. So just to clarify, I don't hate the Huna Huna crystal crowd. I think a lot of them are flaky, and I think a lot of them started just looking for shelter, and they wound up, you know, getting into, like, weird stuff or whatever that's just a rehash of, like, Tibetan meditation or whatever. And a lot of guys are making money from these people, and I don't agree with that at all. But I think if you go far enough back with a lot of occultic tradition and stuff like that, if you go far enough back, it's rooted in something. Now, maybe that something is true or not, but I'm not saying I don't think it's totally bullshit. I think there may be something to it. Now, I could be proven wrong, Okay, I could do some more research, find out it's all crap, blah, blah, blah. But, I mean, it was important enough that the government dumped money into it to do research on it, right? I mean, there was all sorts of stuff done on remote viewing. You know, they canceled the program. They have stuff that the government does consult psychics. I mean, there's got to be something to some of this shit somewhere. I don't know if the crystals are right. I don't know if it's a Tibetan thing. I don't know if it's a meditation thing. I don't know if it's an astral projection thing. But there's got to be something to it. Now, the trick is not to know what you believe. The trick is to know what you don't believe. And I don't believe Real there, Mr. Robot Lover, I don't believe he got picked up on the side of a French mountain, flown to his planet, met Jesus, Muhammad, and all the guys, and they explained to him how he was a robot, or they were all robots. And, you know, and he's back to reveal to the world that he has to build a temple so that, you know, the aliens can land and take away our planet. Because, essentially, you know, all life in the planet is about consumption. Fire consumes wood, we consume oxygen and food. It's about consumption. So if we just, you know, let's pretend there's two chances here. One, Real is lying. Two, Real is not lying. If Real is lying, then he's fucking people over. Maybe he's getting, you know, some free sex and open marriage, and that's you know, his particular choice. It doesn't really promote a very, you know, healthy lifestyle. I don't know. You know, actually, you know what? I can't even say that. I can't even say it doesn't promote a healthy lifestyle, because what's a healthy lifestyle? You know what I mean? Healthy lifestyles are different for different people, but it's definitely not a lifestyle founded in truth, which is something that I'm truth is important to me. You know, I mean, the truth is important. So that's, if I was going to, you know, slam on the rails and say, why are you ripping on these guys? Because it's not true. Just like, you know, all the other major world religions, you know, it's not fucking true. I want the truth. This is what I want. That's all I'm after here is the truth. So that's my problem with the whole Raelian thing. Now, if it's true, which is unlikely, if it's not true, he's a liar and he's just manipulating people. But if he's true, then that opens a whole other ball of wax. I don't think the guy's nearly bright enough for it to be true. But if it is true, let's just pretend for a moment that it's true. And how I fucked these guys when I first met them was looking at their stuff and admitting blindly that it's true, they're handing over the planet to aliens. Okay, is what they're doing. That's what they want to do. We're just going to be like, because they're more advanced than us. Who gives a shit? Who fucking cares if they're more advanced than us? I'm not into being dominated, thank you. I don't give a fuck if it's angels or God or aliens or what. I'll look at other conscious entities as an equal. And I'll look at these things as, you know, things that I would respect and revere, like the force of nature and stuff like that. But I don't want to be dominated and controlled. I'm not fetching drinks for no fucking gray aliens. Fuck that, man. That's messed up. So even if he's lying, then he's manipulating people. But if he's telling the truth, he's selling out the planet. He doesn't really have a very good recruiting you know, sort of process there. So I hope that answers your question for Sort Yourself Out. Into the news. Some follow-up here on Vitamins and Codex. And this was sent to me by, was it Visage? Visage? That's really a hot name. She sent me this great link, which I have now on my live journal. You can go check on it and follow up on the Vitamins and Codex thing. We need to know what's going on with this, because if this is true, and if we are going to be banning vitamins, dude, this is really bad. There's a lot. We're talking about, this will kill people. Okay, you're cutting off nutrients, and your brains won't work properly, because your brain, whether or not you believe in the soul or not, is a chemical reaction. You got to make sure that you keep all the proper chemicals so you can stay healthy, so at least your body can heal itself and carry on in life. This is, you know, really basic. I'm not going to insult your intelligence by explaining how important it is we keep vitamins legal. This is one of the best summaries in the European Health Directive, commonly known as Codex, and how it will impact us here in North America and elsewhere. Please seriously read this and take action as outlined in Dr. Wright's Action Plan. Canadians can also rally with this effort through donating and becoming members of the Friends of Freedom grassroots organization and repeatedly writing their MPs. Now, you want to go through this, make sure none of this is a money grab, okay? But still, check it out. And approximately 350 supplements and ingredients are missing from the list they want to ban. You know, they have these lists that they say, oh, no, 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 it's just for this and this and this. No. There's 350 supplements that are missing. If they are not added to the list by June of 2005, they will be deemed illegal throughout the European Union. Supplement manufacturers may submit technical dossiers to support applications for the inclusion of individual elephants or the formulation of so-called positive lists. But the EU has made this process so expensive and time-consuming that many manufacturers simply can't afford the costs involved. As a result, around 5,000 safe formulas and nutrients that have been on the market for decades will soon be banned. This is something we want to check on. This is something you have to get involved with. You know, if you're going to get fanatical and about something in your life, you may as well get fanatical about, you know, protecting the lives and reducing the suffering for those who are either too occupied or too distracted to do it for themselves. More follow-up on the national ID. Hi, Sean. Since your Valentine's Day article about the House bill that passed backing a biometric ID and waiving laws to construct barriers at the border, I've been tracking it through the Senate website to see if it has any realistic chance of being passed. Sometimes crazily worded bills die in the Senate, even if the House passes it. And sadly, the first step has been taken. According to the Senate website, the bill has been read twice and referred to the appropriate committee, which is standard procedure, even if a bill eventually gets killed. I'm concerned with the president supporting it in such a strong House support. It may be whisked through the committee and onto the Senate floor to get voted on a la Patriot Act before the media can properly respond and inform people. I've already written my senators to try to inform them about the problems, how this bill was presented, and now is definitely the time for any American listeners to do the same. I know this isn't the smoking gum usually report, but it's worst-case scenario, and it's the Judiciary Committee, who Orrin Hatch is a member of, by the way, remember him, nods and smiles at this bill and shoves it immediately into the full Senate without any changes and gets voted into law before we can fucking blink. The only way we can prevent this is for the senators who oppose it to be informed enough about it to be able to deliver a serious argument. I've included a link to track the progress of this, like I've been doing, but not... Note that it's a Congress website, and the description says, to ensure expeditious construction of the San Diego border fence. Like it's a foregone conclusion that this will happen once they remove those pesky laws. I was born in San Diego, and I've lived there for 16 years. I can tell you firsthand that there's going to be some civil unrest going down with the Hispanic population finds out that America's being closed to all of their amigos. Thank you for taking time to read this, and once again, for the service you are providing. And that's from Shadowkill. And I got two links here, a link to follow the bill through Senate, and a link to the contact information for all senators. Now, Shadowkill, thank you so much for sending me that. I know that sometimes, you know, doing this kind of work and the legwork and the paperwork isn't that glamorous. You know, I'm so incredibly blessed by server because I get to be the front man. You know, I'm a guy holding the microphone and yelling and screaming, jumping up and down and taking some risks here, putting my ass on the line. But really, it's all you guys out there in the world, you know, doing the legwork, getting down deep in the paper. You're the band, man. I'm just the front man. And because of guys like you, I'm able to report that there are people following these articles, and we do have a chance. And this broadcast does get out to reach people. We're now being syndicated. It's going further and further. Look at what the hell. Look at everything we've done in the past, how rapidly it has grown. This is an amazing opportunity for all of us to really take a stand. This is great. I'm enjoying this so much. But unfortunately, the cops are getting all lead on our ass. Yes? Yes, yes. Now, this is from China, I believe, so you'll have to keep with me. But the High-Tech Criminal Investigation Division of the Supreme Public Prosecutor's Office, can you believe that title, Supreme Public Prosecutors? SPPO, revealed Wednesday, is developing a system to track down suspects by tracing their IP addresses. Why am I reporting on this? Because it could affect us. Police and prosecutors have been using commercial services from domestic IT firms to track down suspects through the traces they've left behind on the internet. But the SPPO said the police and prosecutors spend a fortune everywhere on commercially available services. They're also worried that commercial services might not be secure and could result in information leaking out. You know, I wonder if the guy who wrote this actually knows anything about computers. The office thus decided to pump 160 million, I guess that's yen. Is that what W is yen or when or Chinese dollars, whatever, into developing its own system, which is hopes to be completed by March. Now, there's a very small chance that I could have listeners in China. If I do, sucks to be you, but, you know, hey, if you could get me some feedback on this, that'd be great. The system would send bait emails to accounts presumed to belong to suspects should the recipients open it. Their location could be pinpointed through their IP address. Wow, there's phishing for you. A typical case was last August manhunt for cop killer Lee Hackman. During investigations, police received information that user registered under Lee's citizen number. Ooh, his citizen number, eh? Had signed into a certain website. Wow, this is what happens when you have convergence. A trace of the IP led police to an apartment in Seoul, Singbuk-gu, where Lee was hiding. Prosecutors could use a similar method to hunt wanted men, as well as defaulters on large fines. So if you don't pay, you go to jail. You do something wrong, you go to jail. Go in debt, you go to jail. Declare bankruptcy? No, you can't. Go to jail. Prosecutors believe tracking suspects in this manner does not conflict with current confidentiality laws, but are considered revisions of the law if necessary. Well, that's in China. And thankfully, I don't live in China. I live in the free nation of Canada. So that's what you're looking at. That's what we're afraid of with the convergence of, you know, the national ID system and the Matrix. Let's not forget about the Matrix. In Tracking You news, it's been 3 months since the murder of Peter Porco. I'm not making that up. And the brutal beating of his wife, Joan, which is a horrible, horrible thing. And still, police have no official suspects in the case. But they've been keeping a very close eye on the couple's younger son, Christopher Porco. From day one, Christopher's lawyer said police have been more than ready to make his client the number one suspect. Now, that is not how you're supposed to do police work. You're supposed to look at the facts and then try to determine, you know, who's at fault. Not choose a guy and say, let's get evidence on him. Attorney Terry Kindlon said, this so-called investigation has been dedicated on the proposition that if they just keep trucking, sooner or later they're going to get someone to agree with their theory that Christopher did it and he didn't. Kindlon said that last week when Porco discovered two police global positioning system tracking devices on cars he'd been driving, giving police the ability to watch his every move. Kindlon said the GPS episode is emblematic of the fact they're just grasping at straws. Oh, great. The tracking devices belong to state police who were brought in on the investigation late in the game. Kindlon said he's asked police to see the warrant for the devices, but he has yet to see one. Kindlon said, it's a terribly invasive thing to have to endure. I really feel like you've been violated when you find something like this. I'm promising all the world, the next time we find one on a car, I'm going to take it to the thruway and stick it on the side of a truck and let it ride to Buffalo. Now, there's a thought. But according to the law, it's legal for police to use tracking devices. Well, that just means you check your car. You know, a good way to do that would be with weight. You know, which sounds odd, but if you've got a method of measuring your car weight, you know, and you know what the weight of the car is, and you clean it, you keep a clean car, because, of course, you know, cleanliness is a WOG trait, you know, and you all of a sudden pick up an extra pound or something like that, you want to know where that pound came from. That gives you an idea. There's also probably a series of other ways you could track what devices have been put on as well. You got to make it hard to put on the car. You could lock off your underside, not make it easy to attach stuff. I mean, there's a whole ton of ways you can do this. Attorney Paul Durohanasan said, no warrant is required to place a GPS tracking device on a car. The theory is that you have no expectation of privacy when you're driving your car along the road, and all that device does is assist the police in watching you. Yeah, that's great. And we're on to some gravy for the brain. Researchers at the National Institute of Health have found a correlation between ingredients found in shampoos and nervous system damage. National Institute of Health, shampoos causing nerve damage. Hence gravy for the brain. Experiments were conducted with brain cells of rats, and they showed that contact with the ingredients called, here we go, methylisothiazolinone, or MIT, causes neurological damage. What products contain this chemical compound, MIT? Well, get your list out. You are no longer using Head & Shoulders, Suave, Clairol, or Pantene Hair. These are huge names that the National Institute of Health has thrown out. Okay, and you're never, ever going to see that on the news, because how many shampoo commercials on the news do you see for Head & Shoulders, Suave, Clairol, and Pantene Hair? Conditioners all contain this ingredient. Researchers are concerned that those conditioners, okay, once again, are which? Head & Shoulders, Suave, Clairol, and Pantene Hair. All those conditioners all contain this ingredient. Researchers are concerned the exposure to this chemical by pregnant women could put their fetus at risk for abnormal brain development. In other people, exposure could be factored for the development of Alzheimer's disease and other nervous system disorders. I don't give a shit if there's a disorder name to it. If it's doing nerve damage, get the fuck off my head. The chemical causes these effects by preventing communication between neurons. Essentially, it slows the networking of neurons, and since the nervous system and brain function of a system is a system of neural networks, it's slowing the network and will suppress and impair the normal functions of the brain and nervous system. Great. So it's like inhibitor slime. These findings were presented at December 5th, at the American Society for Cell Biology's annual meeting. Now, did you hear about any of this since December 5th? What is it, January, February? It was 2 months. You know, it's something you're putting on your head that's fucking up your brain. And do you know anything about it? No. Why don't you know anything about it? You don't know anything about it because advertising goes on all the networks. And everyone knows that these shampoo companies advertise on the network. So, of course, they're not going to report on shit that they're doing that's wrecking your head. This is just, you know, simplistic, you know, kind of rationale here. We can just follow that and see that, you know. So that's why what we are doing, you know, so many things we start as a joke, you know, so many things we start off as just something to do as a lark. And it's 6 years later, and Rant Media is slowly becoming the voice of reason in a world gone completely mad. This is freaking me out. If it wasn't for guys like Sim out there putting their lives on the line and their legal lives, I'm not talking like he has a lot to lose. You know, I'm crazy anyway. I can survive no matter what. They can lock me in a cell. But that guy, you know, he's got a lot to lose, man. Because really, his name is the one on the contract. He's the guy who owns the whole station. I work for him. I could sell out and go, no, man, I'm just working for him. He told me to act like that, blah, blah, blah. You know, I wouldn't do that, but that's something I could do. So realistically, you know, when you look out at the world, this is some serious shit, man. I can't believe that we get, you know, a hair care product, which is shown here, you know, to be causing damage, yet no one is reporting on that. Why? Why is that exactly? This should be front page stuff. But do we hear about it? No, it stays out in the realms of the fringe. Well, I'm happy to be here. Now, more suppressed science. Check this out. How about a star in a jar? It's been 3 years. 3 years since Professor Rusi Taliyarkhan. Rusi Taliyarkhan. Taliyarkhan. Okay, I'm calling him Rusi from now on. Made the controversial claim. You remember this guy? This is the guy who made that claim that he had achieved the holy grails of science, nuclear fusion. Okay, since then, he's grown tired of the skepticism of his fellow scientists. My lab has been audited, my instruments have been audited, my books have been audited, and the data speaks for itself. The data has to speak for itself. I mean, how can I answer that I know absolutely 100% sure that it is what I think it is? I just have to look at the data, and the data has been looked at very carefully. Now, you got to understand, if you come forward, this professor here, okay, if he comes forward and says he's created nuclear fission, or pardon me, fusion, you got to know that, that's kind of career making and breaking stuff there. So rather than, you know, really looking at this positively, in the history of publication, I've probably not been able to find one that has gone through this level of scrutiny. If you do, let me know. Nuclear fusion is nature's atomic power. It's what happens when the sun, and if it can be made to happen here on Earth on a large enough scale, it promises to solve all of mankind's energy problems in one go. So it's free energy for the world. It would be clean, last forever, and create no long-term nuclear waste. And Rusi claims to have achieved it using very simple sound waves. His breakthrough is based on something called sonoluminescence. Sonoluminescence. That's probably what it is. It's sonar and luminescence. So sonoluminescence. It is a process that transforms sound waves into flashes of light, focusing the sound energy into a tiny flickering hotspot inside of a bubble. Wow. It has been nicknamed the star in a jar by researchers in a field. The star in a jar effortlessly reaches temperatures of tens of thousands of degrees, which is hotter than the surface of the sun. I was able to do this by simply focusing the energy of sound waves into a tiny hotspot. Now, it's interesting that he was able to do that because the Tibetans, ancient Tibetans, not the Lamas Tibetans, but the original religions that were there, believe that all of their powers, because actually some areas of Tibet, they claim they came from space. These totally remote, isolated tribes with no physical characteristics of any other surrounding people have this verbal tradition that say they came from the star system, which is, you know, fucked up, but that's what they say. You know, check some meat, go check it out. That's what they say. And their technology, apparently, you know, there's that whole mystic shit. A lot of people in the pyramids think that a lot of energy was done with sound. You know, harmonics and resonance and all this kind of stuff, which is a lot better than magic. I mean, at least sound is something real. You know, how it's used like that, I don't know. I don't think it's crazy. I mean, I know that sound can do some funky stuff. But it's interesting that this guy was able to use sound to create a hotspot in a jar. And do we know anything about it? It's been 3 years. It's been totally discredited. Well, one guy did a research lab. I mean, if the guy is claiming that it's the true, then why aren't there more research being done on this? Why doesn't he just open source it? Hey, everybody, if you happen to have this equipment, try it on your own. See if we can make it happen. Because no one wants free energy, of course. If we have free energy, we don't have reasons to go to war. We can't make money. It's the worst thing in the world for us if we were to get free energy, I guess. That's the logic. Because, of course, all the big companies would lose their power. And since it wasn't one of the big companies who developed this, and some dude who wants to benefit mankind, he's going to be taken to task on this. Now, luckily, The FCC just got a smack. The U.S. Appeals Court on Tuesday said that regulators had overstepped their authority by imposing a rule designed to limit the copying of digital television programs. Woohoo! You crossed the line, Judge Harry Edwards told the lawyer of the Federal Communications Commission during arguments before a three-judge panel of the U.S. Court of Appeals in the D.C. Court. Selling television is not what the FCC is in the business of, Edwards said, siding with the critics who charge the rule dictates how computers and other devices should work. But it was unclear whether the judge would strike down the FCC's 2003 rule, since doubts were also raised whether the American Library Association and other opponents had legal standing to challenge the rule in court. After hearing arguments, the court usually takes several months to issue a ruling. Yeah, because they go everything with a fine-tooth comb, and it gives lots of time for payoffs and stuff, you know. The FCC's rule aims to limit people from sending copies of digital television programs over the Internet. The FCC has said copyright protections are needed to help speed the adoption of digital television. Is it really that big of a deal? I put it to you that it's not. There are not so many pirates out there. The vast majority of people do not know how to use computers effectively. This is a very small margin that you're apparently afraid of. I don't understand why they're making such a huge fucking deal about people willing to give you free promotion. Under the FCC rule, programmers can attach code or flag to digital broadcasts that would, in most cases, bar consumers from sending unauthorized copies of popular shows over the web. Good luck, pal. Yeah, oh no. Oh no, there's something on this. There's some kind of black ice that prevents me from sending it. Guess I'm fucked. Oh no, wait. It'll take me 30 seconds to go online and find a crack that cuts that thing off like a razor blade. The rule requires manufacturers of television sets that receive digital over-the-air broadcast signals to produce a set that can read digital code by July 1st of this year. Oh, so they're going to put a dongle on it. That's their idea. They're going to put a dongle on your television to say what you can and cannot have. Well, that's okay because, you know, if they want to do that, I'm sure that there'll be knockoff TVs that we can buy that won't have that. And also we'll create a nice little cottage industry of people who go around and create, you know, better, bigger, better, badder-ass crack boxes. Because that's, you know, what we're going to be doing. And what are your tax dollars going towards? What are your tax dollars going towards, you may ask? Is it all going towards saving the tsunami victims? Of which, you know, we're bombarded with the save the tsunami victims. Save them. We need to take your money to save the tsunami victims. Even though all we got to do is, you know, kind of stop building, you know, two or three bombers. And we'll be able to, like, set that whole fucking country up. Never mind that. No, what's your tax dollars going towards? A brand new vampire sub. Yes, the USS Jimmy Carter, set to join the nation's submarine fleet on Saturday, will have some special capabilities, intelligence experts say. It will be able to tap undersea cables and eavesdrop on communications passing through them. Great. The Navy does not acknowledge the $3.2 billion submarine. Doesn't acknowledge it. And the third and last Seawolf class of attacks, oh, it won't acknowledge that it has this capability. No, we don't know. Well, somebody knows. That's going to be classified, Nature, said Kevin Sykes, a Navy spokesman. You're not going to be able to get anyone to talk about that. Well, quite obviously, it's not denying it, and this wasn't made up from somewhere, and that would definitely be a capability that somebody wants. So I'm going to say that, yeah, the Jimmy Carter can, you know, park itself and vampire into lines and figure out what's going on. But intelligence community watchdogs have little doubt. The previous submarine that performed the mission, the USS Parch, was retired last fall. That would only happen if a new one was on the way. So this isn't actually new technology, it's just bigger, better, faster. Like the Parch, the Carter was extensively modified from its basic design and given a $923 million hull extension that allows to house technicians and gear to perform cable tapping and other secret missions. The Carter's hull, 453 feet, is 100 feet long and longer than the two other subs in the Seawolf class. The submarine is basically going to have its major function intelligence gathering. Oh, well, there you go. And that's from James Bamford, author of two books on National Security Agency. Navy public information touts the same some of the Carter's abilities. The extended hull section can in the extended hull section, the boat can provide berths for 50 special operations troops, like Navy SEALs, maybe not Navy SEALs, but like them. Which is nice that they said that, because I guess they must admit the Navy SEALs exist now. For a very long time, they didn't even say that there was Navy SEALs. It has an ocean interface that serves as sort of a hangar bay for smaller vehicles and drones to launch and return. They have usual complement of torpedo tubes and Tomahawk cruise missiles, blah, 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 blah. Isn't this technology great? Blah, 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 blah. It only cost us $3.2 billion. when we scuttled a sub that had the same sort of capabilities. Because it's really, really important. Now, what about Echelon? I mean, I'm not calling down that this kind of technology is useful. Oh, obviously it is. I'd love to have this thing. Yeah, set me up. We're going to camperize it. I'll recruit crew. And we'll go out and take on the world. And we'll be like an undersea hacking sub. Wow. There's a book for you, huh? Imagine you hijack this motherfucker, how much damage you could do. Holy crap. So, when you see this level of paranoia, I mean, the Navy's got to do this. The Navy's got to be able to monitor. But what about Echelon? What about all the process they already have in place? Is this like triple redundancy? Is that what that is? And regardless, you know, they could have just staved off that sub for a couple of years and, you know, probably saved a few million lives. But no. We really need to have this new one when there are people starving and Americans starving and, you know, illiteracy rates are soaring. We have to, you know, fund the military state. Now, smart goggles, remember those? Well, they're the idea that you can, you know, have a HUD overlay or something to that effect. Synthetic eyes is what we're really talking about here. And it'll cost you 20 grand to see again, apparently, if you're going blind. A small camera mounted on spectacles and connected to the optical nerve could restore the sight of thousands of people suffering from deterioration of the retina, European scientists said on Monday. This is really exciting shit. The medical advance has the potential to help over 300,000 Europeans whose sight is impaired as a thin layer of tissue which lines the eye and process image deteriorates, Belgian professor Claude Verrat told a news conference. We have implanted the device in two patients so far, Verrat from the Catholic University Louvain-la-Neuve near Brussels said. The camera, mounted on glasses, sends images to an electronic device implanted behind the eye and stimulates the optic nerve which patches the information onto the brain. The technology could also help people with retinal disease, macular degeneration, which can lead to loss of fine sight detail, which is one of the leading causes of visual impairment in the United States. Based on the price of hearing devices, known as a cochlear implant, which also involves inserting components into the head, the new technology will cost about $26,000, $26,120, or 20,000 euros, Verrat said. 20 grand. So the concept of grandma, unless she sells her house, to being able to see again, like live in a house or be able to see. I mean, this is, that's a little bit, a little steep, don't you think? And you wonder why people are going to be like Ghost in the Shell. They talked about people selling off their body parts so they could afford cybernetics. Is that so far in the future? 15 independent teams around the world are working on similar technology, but the Belgian project, which coordinates in the pan-European effort involving researchers in France and Germany, has had the best results. So that's something we want to follow. If anyone out there knows people who are blind, or quite probably, we have some blind listeners who like to listen to the audio programs. I've heard that. You know, I mean, there may be something coming down the pipe. Let's hope the technology can be there for us. And, of course, let's not use real weed. No. Let's make synthetic weed, and then we'll do some research and then prove that, hey, this synthetic weed helps Alzheimer's. This is right after a Spanish report yesterday said that weed causes brain clots, but the natural stuff causes your brain to, like, pardon me, not brain clots, it causes strokes, but the unnatural stuff that's, you know, synthetic, this actually helps Alzheimer's. A synthetic version of the active ingredient marijuana, called THC, calms agitation and Alzheimer's disease. Does the natural stuff do that? Oh, we don't know. Up to 3/4 of those with Alzheimer's disease suffer from agitation, which can show itself in various forms, from abusive talk to restless pacing, even physical aggression. Needless to say, many carers for those with Alzheimer's say the agitation their loved ones cause them great stress and often leads to depression. Oh boy. Researchers at Monmouth Medical Center now report that phase 2 study of dronabinol. Ooh, that sounds really healthy. For agitation for agitation in Alzheimer's disease. So it's not even for Alzheimer's, it's just to handle the agitation. Dronabinol is a synthetic analog of the active ingredients in marijuana. It's already found use in other treatments like anorexia and nausea and vomiting linked to cancer chemotherapy. Yes. Which means it generates an appetite. This bullshit science speak, you know, it's already found a use, so they give it to people with anorexia and nausea because it calms them down and gives them the munchies, so they, like, you know, munch out so their bodies actually have a chance to get some food to repair the damage the chemotherapy's done. Other research has looked at the application of dronabinol in multiple sclerosis. Yes, and that's also been used. You know, if you just, guys, there's all kinds of data on the web about this. If you're not connected to the web, which I don't know how you'd be listening to this, or you want to get more, you know, book-written information that you can get some serious, go check out the book, The Emperor Wears No Clothes. Okay, it's the Bible of this shit. And you can totally see through this crap. In this study, a group of 54 patients with Alzheimer's disease, known to suffer from agitation, was given two doses of dronabinol. Evaluation at 9 weeks revealed the reduction in agitation in both groups. Because we got them all strung out. What's more important is their carers reported that their own stress and depression had gone down as much as the persons with dementia became easier to manage. So it's not actually for them, it's for their carers? Bullshit, Jack. If my wife gets Alzheimer's and I have to look after her, I'm not going to care if she stresses me out. Okay, I want to get what's right for her to heal her fucking brain. This was quite a small study, but is hoped to benefit from the replicated in future work as a new way of improving quality of life in Alzheimer's disease. And Alzheimer's disease becomes available. Once again, this is why garlic, which is known to be like a massive, massive antifungal, antibacterial agent, you never see that. There's nothing stronger. Go find me something that has more benefits than garlic does. Go on. Off you go. Have a good time, because you won't find one. Okay? There's no negative side effects, and the stuff is the food of the gods. It's helped. It's an organic gift, man. You eat enough garlic, and you don't get sick anymore. This is not, new stuff. People have been smoking weed to handle dementia and Alzheimer's and stuff like that for generations. And now they're going to feed me that, oh, yeah, we made this fake stuff that you can buy rather than picking it out of your... This is crap. It's got nothing to do with helping people. It's got to do with money. And it's got to do with the pharmaceutical giants trying to create more ways to rob us of cash to get away from the sickness industry. Fuck, it makes me... Oh, it just makes me sick. And, of course, the United Nations, an organization I don't particularly think is evil... Kind of nutless because they let the Rwandan crisis go on, but I don't think they're evil. The UN wants the web, apparently. There's a panel on the UN, imagine that, is considering such problems as cybercrime and email spam. United Nations is worried about email spam. Jesus. ICANN, the International Corporation for Assigned Names and Numbers, currently is the most recognized internet governing body. Is it now? But I'd call it a database, but anyway. But developing countries want the UN agencies, such as International Telecommunication Union, to have control over domain names and other issues. There's an issue that is out there that needs to be resolved. Nitin Desai, chairman of the panel, Special Advisor UN Secretary General Kofi Annan, told Reuters. Incorporated in 1998, ICANN oversees management of the Internet's addressing system, which matches numerical addresses with website addresses. Yeah, that's DNS. Critics claim ICANN is subject to U.S. political influences. No shit, everybody else is as well. According to the report, developing countries see the International Telecommunications Union, a 138-year-old trade body that, among other things, established country code rules for international telephone calls, as better able to deal with Internet governance. At the First World Summit... At the First World Summit on the Information Society in 2003, French Prime Minister Jean-Pierre Raffarin called for international rules to govern the net. The Information Society offers new opportunities, but like all new technological revolutions, it also brings about uncertainty. Can't have that, Raffarin said. It calls on us to establish international rules which citizens can rely on. Actually, we just generally want to be free, just sort of a personal guideline. At that time, China was leading efforts to globalize internet control. There's a scary thought. Beijing allows its own citizens online access, but only with government surveillance. Nice. China was joined by its efforts by representatives of Syria, Egypt, Vietnam, and South Africa. Well, it's just a regular, cornucopia of fact down there, eh? And bird flu. Is this FUD or fact? We better find out. World health officials have issued their strongest warning yet about the global threat posed by bird flu. Check this out. The world is now in gravest danger possible for a human flu pandemic triggered by a virus. This is Dr. Shinru Omi told a conference in Vietnam. The World Health Organization fears bird flu may get deadlier if it mutates into a form that could be easily transmitted between humans. Now, we got a lot of ifs and ands here, but it's stuff that's out there. 13 people have died in Vietnam from the virus since December. Not too impressed. Malaria kills more than that every month. Governments need to take quick action to control the virus's spread. Oh, or is this going to be the new SARS? Dr. Omni added bird flu is proving resistant to treatments and it has appeared in animals including cats and tigers that have not been considered susceptible to the virus. Last year, the bird flu swept through the poultry in dozens of countries and killed 45 people, which is pretty slow for a pandemic. About 140 million birds died or were slaughtered in an effort to contain the outbreak. So really, it's going to hurt the industry, not people. If the virus has become highly contagious among humans, if, the health impact terms of deaths and sickness will be enormous. It could kill everyone, but it hasn't killed anyone yet, and there's a big if there. Dr. Omi told the United Nations Food Agriculture Organization conference in Ho Chi Minh City, "The world is now in the gravest danger, in the gravest possible danger of a pandemic. Such outbreaks usually occur every 20 to 30 years," he said. "The last one was nearly 40 years ago. So by this measure, an outbreak is overdue." Well, there's something to look at. But your daily hack today has nothing to do with the flu. It has to do with your personal rights and how to deal with cops. Now, this is sent to me by Pig Monkey. Thank you so much, Pig. This is just an awesome, awesome link, and he's actually hosted it too. So super big thanks to him. "Back in August, when the country was gearing up for the RNC, I found a bunch of PDFs on the National Lawyers Guild about dealing with police, your rights, etc. I put them all up here. There's a link for my live journal. Go check it out. There's dealing with police, arrest information, questions and answers about civil disobedience, code selections against demonstrators, your rights in demonstration and protest, knowing your rights, know your rights, multi-language poster, student free speech rights, blah, 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 blah." So it's very, very cool. Check that out. This is information you need to have. And that's all I got for you today. But don't worry, I will be back tomorrow to get you the news you need to stay alive. This is a free broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of those people who enable me to continue working. Jesse, Anonymous, Jesse, Grey Goat, Robert, Forleet, Michael, Matthew, Matt, Kevin, Derek, Jesse, Desert Runner, Eric, Speaker, Jeff, Malcolm, Peter, Keith, Timor, WebLife, Richard, Greg, Evan, Matt, Drake, Levi, Ashton, David, Brian, Austin, Tara, Host Mojo, Jonathan, Adam, Mystique, Mark, Jonathan, Trevor, Brandon, Art, Diarmude, and Peter, Jesse, Brandon, Justin, Matthew, Dylan, Lars, Daniel, Mookie, and Philip. Thank you so much. And if you would like to help keep this daily news broadcast on the air, please visit rantmedia.ca and make a little donation so that I can stay alive. Special thanks to some hard netrunners who provided me with some information today. We got Drive, Astrofix, Sylvanus, PolySci, Ricky Rocket, Foulware, Psychofish, No Delete, Noog, Sin, I should know this because I gave it to him. It's always so bad. Synesthesia, Blitzcon, Kevlar Gibbs, Lizard, High Speed Low Drag, Madar, Pink, Angry Butterknife, and Visage. Thanks so much. And there's no digital baptisms today, but for all of you out there who have information for me, or any news stories, or feedback, or ideas, or you just want to say hello, you can get me at Newsreel, that's N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L, at rantradio.com. And if you like the music in the background, be sure to pick up this new album. Now, this was sent to me. This is a fantastic group called Electrophile. And they got a brand new album called Fluid. There's a link to the band on their website. Make sure you check them out. Sim, we might want to carry these guys. I really like them. So until tomorrow, that's what Server said. End of line.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight, I shall talk to you about glorious conformity. About the delight and the ultimate pleasure of our unified society.
It's time for people across the political spectrum to wake up. This isn't freedom. Cameras in school bathrooms isn't freedom. Videotaping your naked body walking through airports isn't freedom. Cable boxes that track what you watch and do and listen to you in the microphone isn't freedom. Police in black ski masks covering up their badge numbers isn't freedom. A government kicking down doors without warrants, looking for drugs they shipped in to begin with, isn't freedom. Freedom! We got scientifically crafted tyranny by a bunch of psychopaths that created Hitler running America. You better get it straight, and you better wake up to the full-scale dehumanization we're under.
Responsible for obeying orders, now can you?
Well, I can tell you for me, it was horrible.
said, you know, a bomb just explodes next to him. And he's looking at me saying, you know, I never worked for Saddam. So I have no affiliation with Saddam.
You go, well, just for Terrence, Section 802 says every misdemeanor is an act of terror. You can be secretly arrested, secretly killed, or put in a camp.
Allow you to move into a special area in which people of your kind have been congregated.
The population is the enemy. And now the UN's about to come in as the savior to play the part of the good cop. I mean, this is hell on earth. Hell on earth. Hell on earth. It's hell on earth. They're not your friend. The government in there to help you. The corporations have an edict to get people into the system. They say we're going from the 5 to 7 million that are in there now to 33 million by the end of this decade. Now, how are they going to get that many people into prisons? By criminalizing everything. You're late to class three times. Come in here with your parents and with the truancy officer, and let's sign you up into the criminal justice system. Because we care so much about you. Because Judge Jean Mier wants to build more giant juvenile detention centers with her name on it while she's in office. How sick is this?
Who are you people anyway? What is this state?
The fight is at the county and city and state level to educate everybody and to step out of the shadows and to tell the establishment that we know you're behind all of this.